Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49, Bible says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and look at my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost did not have flesh and bones, as you see, I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they were still, and while they still did not believe. Do you get that part? Jesus showed them his hand and feet, and they still did not believe. That's a problem. Can I get a witness on that? They still did not believe. Let me find out where he says, they still did not believe. Because of joy and amazement. He asked him, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Lord, we come before you this morning on this Mother's Day morning, and we celebrate your goodness, Lord. We celebrate your presence in this place, that you would come, call us out of darkness, guide us into light, and empower us, Lord, to have impact in the lives around us. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And I was struggling looking for Mother's Day illustrations to fit in this wonderful day, and it is difficult to come up with Mother's Day stories when you're talking about Pentecost. Can I get a witness on that, Pastor Paul? Yes. But I have striven? Where's Pastor Scott? Striven? I strove. Have striven, I think, is still grammatically correct. But it could be wrong. But I'm not going to argue with the guy with the master's degree in English. No. What? Stripified. There we go. I have been stripified. But I want to let you know that the doves are back. We have this pair of doves that makes a nest in our patio. And they come in, and they come in like twice a year. And they've been doing this for a long time. I think it's the same ones. I don't know how long doves live. Could be the babies. Could be the how. Anybody know the lifespan of a dove? Longer if it doesn't get eaten by a cat, right? But anyway, the birds will come, and they just started. The other day I noticed them going, oh, they're back. You know, and there's one's carrying a big old stick. And what they're doing is, anybody want to guess? They're building a nest. Yes. And just like a Mother's Day, we think about mothers building a nest. Starts off with just a stick, and it come back with thread, material, and all kinds of stuff. And then they'll lay the egg, and the eggs will hatch, and the chicks will grow. And I thought, what a fabulous tie into Mother's Day. And it's also a tie into Jesus, because Jesus said, Luke chapter 13, verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed, don't miss it, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Nothing? Nothing? No impressed? I mean, aren't you impressed? I got to tie in Pentecost and Mother's Day? Amen. Look at that. Pregnant mother. Not even a full mom yet, a half a mom. She's the one I get a witness from. What? Oh, she's a full mom already? Oh, all the women said, oh, you don't know. You know not what you speak of. Here we are talking about the Easter story. Jesus appearing to his disciples. And it is all part of God's plan. The death of Jesus, part of the plan. The resurrection, part of the plan. Jesus had been gone. Bible says that he was raised on the third day. And he returns back to his disciples who are gathered in fear. The mother of these birds at one point will leave the nest. And she and the male dove will go out and they will be gathering food just as much as they can, because after a while the chicks become so big they can't even fit in there anymore. And they got to feed them incessantly, and it is time getting ready for them to leave the nest. And so Jesus has left. Jesus has spent 3 years with these men, and it is getting time for them to leave the nest. And Jesus comes back to prepare them for change. The title of the message today is Looking for Change. And these disciples had a need for a change they were not even aware of. And it comes on Pentecost. We're in this new series called The Power of Pentecost. Coming to God is a life-changing experience. He will transform your life. He transformed my life. Took me out of darkness and into the light.
Amen. Amen.
And on Pentecost, he poured out power to birth the church. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's take a look at this. All right, Mike, I got to check. It is hot up here. Everybody, anybody cooling? Anybody feel the AC coming on? You got a little bit? Man. All right, here we go. We are back on track. The fan is off, correct? The overhead fan? Yes, all right. Jesus makes an appearance. Back to verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" And Jesus brings comfort. And there is comfort in the Lord as he appears to his disciples. And if you read, you can read in the Gospel of John that the disciples were all gathered together behind locked doors. They were hiding from the Jews who had killed Jesus. And they were afraid that those same Jews would be looking for the crew and that they were in danger. And so they were hiding, and Jesus appears to them in the midst of their fear, just moving right through the walls. And suddenly, bam, there is Jesus, and he appears right in the midst of them, and he says, "Peace be with you. Shalom." I mean, it is the creator of the universe. Shalom, I am here. And what is their response? Fright. They're living in fear. They're startled. They're afraid. And their response is exactly the opposite. They are heading in the wrong direction. And you know what? Jesus will often show up when you are headed in the wrong direction. Can I get a witness on that? You will find when you are making a wrong choice that the presence of the Lord would come and that he would speak to your heart. And these guys, God speaks to their heart. Question for you today, what's God saying to your heart? Are you heading in the right direction? Are you heading in the wrong direction? Maybe you have come here today that you caught wind of the world famous George Villarini meatloaf. There are some people that are here, I'm sure, for Mother's Day. But I'll tell you what, the Lord has a message for your heart. The Lord has a message that would impact you. Good morning, young people. We got a couple guys who are going to help you out. All right. Praise the Lord. All righty. Part number two, Jesus offers proof. "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself," Jesus says, right? He's talking to these guys. They are quaking in fear. "It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it. And he ate it in their presence. It really was Jesus. He says, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Obviously, the man standing in their midst had been crucified. He had been beaten. He had been cruelly attacked. And he showed the marks of his sacrifice. Jesus goes a step further and he says, touch me and see that I'm real. This is not a joke. I'm not faking here. This is not a game. I'm not a ghost. And he says, seeing is believing, but you know, touching is even more than seeing. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus was doing everything he could to get him on track. And the kingdom of God comes to them. So close that they could reach out and touch it. And they're still missing it. Why? Because of joy and amazement. It is like they have moved over from frightened and startled, and now they've moved to joy and amazement, and they skip right over the truth. And so often our emotion will cause us to miss the truth that God has for us.
Right.
Is I'm talking to anybody but me?
Amen. That's right.
It is so hard to line up and get on track with God. They started up in fear and ended up in joy, and they were still no closer to God. They were lost. I was thinking about being lost this morning. I thought about a Thanksgiving. It had to be 5, 6, 7 years ago. And we went up to my mom's. You see the tie? I think it's just a little ooh or an on. Oh, nice. Yeah, tie. Man, it's hard. I know. It's hot in here. Whoever turned on that fan. Oh, don't turn on the fan. Not on Sunday morning. We go up to my mom's house. And we're going up into the sticks, man, up north of Sacramento, north of Alpine, kind of even from the sticks of Grass Valley, which is from the sticks of Alpine outside of Sacramento, okay? You tracking with me on this? So we're just out there. Go to my mom's house in Fresno. I said, Mom, where's the directions to the place? We're going to this golf course. She says, oh, they're up there on the counter. So I grab the directions. We hop in the car. I got Joe and Leanne. They're littler kids. And we're going to Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, glory to God. And we're heading up. We're going through Sacramento. We're taking, you know, getting up into called the gold country, you know, kind of going up by Alpine. And we know we're getting close because the directions say, turn off the freeway. And we're looking for a golf course, man. We're going to this golf course. Say, wow, man, look at all the trees around here. And so we take a couple of turns. And pretty soon the next turn is a dirt road. I'm thinking, what is this? And I kid you not, we are driving 20 minutes. Lisa says at least. On this dirt road. I mean, we are turning from dirt road to dirt road to dirt road. Man, we are like driving off the edge of the planet. And we're going, where's a golf course that you have to drive 20 minutes on a dirt road to get to? It's got Thanksgiving dinner. And we end up at the place. And it's a house. There's no golf course. We got no cell phone. There's probably no reception. Go up to the house. Where are we? And we start talking over a minute. Yeah, you know, we're looking for Thanksgiving with who? It's Mary Provost. Oh, they're our friends. We had grabbed the directions to their friend's house. And you know what? We realized we were lost. And our kids were hungry. Sometimes you realize you're at a point you just need to make a change. Amen?
Amen.
It's like, oh, you need to make a change today? You come to the right spot. And it's not because you're just going to get George's meatloaf. You can meet the creator of the universe who has nail scars in his hand and nail scars in his feet. And they were put there so that you could get a new direction in your life. Amen? All right. Jesus working it out. Verses 44 and 45. He said to them, talking about God's plan, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Jesus is working it out. Jesus had told them about his death and resurrection. They were challenged by his death and resurrection. All this stuff that was going on was prophesied hundreds of years earlier. Prophet Isaiah says, I missed this word. Or Prophet Isaiah, where is the Prophet Isaiah? Oh, it's the next one, I'm sorry. All these things were prophesied hundreds of years before. Some have tabulated over 350 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when he came, was born, lived a sinless life, and then was crucified and then raised from the dead. Over 350 prophecies. Jesus says in verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. You have lived with me for 3 years. You are part of the plan of God. You have a position in all this. Do not miss what is being portrayed right in front of you. They were witnesses of the crucifixion. They were becoming witnesses of the resurrection. And they were missing it all. You can't get there on your own, folks. Sometimes you realize that you are just in the midst of being lost, and you can't get found by yourself. You need to get some help from somebody. Jesus will show up when you need to make a change. Jesus will show up when you need a new direction in your life. And he'll give you an offer. Can't get there on your own. Particulars of the plan. Man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. How about you? Before you knew the Lord, did you want to know anything about the Lord? I didn't care one whit about the Lord. My brother called me and says, hey, there's an evangelist in town Tuesday night. You want to go to church? I said, Joe, are you crazy? You don't go to church on Tuesday. You only go on Sunday, and that's only if it's Easter or Christmas, man. I didn't care one whit about the Lord. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Bible here says that Jesus opened their mind. They needed to be transformed in their understanding of who Christ was. And if you don't understand who Christ is today, you are trying to get there with the wrong directions. Amen? You need to have God come into your life and say, Lord, I need to understand who you are. I can't figure it out on my own. I need some help. The good news is, if you are here, even if it's because of George Viorini's meatloaf, God called you here for a purpose. And it's not just to eat meatloaf. It is to understand that there is a change that can happen in your life. You can be transformed today, and you can find new direction. Amen? Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Particulars of the plan. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. The Christ will suffer. Here's from the prophet Isaiah. 600 years before Christ, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crucified for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was upon him. And he says, Shalom. He says, peace be with you. He says that because why? Because of his sacrifice has an opportunity to make peace in your life where there never was peace. Amen? He says, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. You need healing in your life this morning? It is because of the sacrifice of Christ that is available to you today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, they're talking about the resurrection and the resurrection happening on the third day. You'll find it in Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. There's all kinds of stuff about the resurrection. There's all kinds of stuff about being restored. But you take a look for 3 days, and you find that in Hosea. It says, come, let us return to the Lord. This next part is a little bit of a challenge. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. Isn't that a blessing? Let's go back to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Starts off bad, but gets pretty good at the end. Amen? Amen. God's working out the plan. And we see We see the parallel here. Let us return him. He has torn us to pieces. There is a judgment. If you read the Old Testament, there is a judgment for sin. There is punishment for sin. God does not just wink at sin and just let it pass by. Perhaps you've heard of the flood in Noah's time. Amen? It's a biggie. Amen? Perhaps you've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a biggie. Amen? You know what? God is not pleased with sin. And he brings judgment and he brings punishment for sin. But he makes an offer of restoration. Now, if you continue to read, and we don't have time for that right now, but if you would read Hosea chapter 6, he says, I offer reconciliation and restoration to Israel. But the sin of Israel keeps ensnaring them. And so here's this cycle. There's a cycle of sin that you get into this sin, and there is judgment, and there is punishment, and that payment for that sin makes you want to just get away from that sin. Are you following me? And then you come out, and then all of a sudden that sin is looking kind of good. And that very same sin that caused the punishment will cause you to go back. And you're in this cycle. And you can't break the cycle. And that is what is so incredible about the message of Christ. Because he suffered a punishment for our sins. Now track this, because he goes into the punishment, right? He goes into that punishment phase, and he comes out to restoration, and there is no more sin in him to have him make another loop, right? See, you get punished for your sin, you get punished, I want to leave that sin, and that sin is still in you, you come back and you do it again, and you do it, but he suffered for our sins, and when he came out, there was no more sin left. There was nothing. There was nothing to cause him to loop around. And that is why the Bible tells us that he was the firstborn among many brothers, that we might follow him out. He breaks that cycle of sin, and he shows us a way to make a change so that we can follow him out of darkness and into light. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? I'll tell you what, man, you got to look for that. But when you find it, it's a message that'll make a change. We were lost on that day. We were lost in Smartsville. Actually, outside, we were trying to... Who has ever heard of Smartsville, California? We were not feeling too smart that day. But it's like, okay, kids are starving. And I'm thinking, McDonald's, let's go. Denny's, here we go. But my wife, you know, she's got the whole Nest thing going on. Oh, no, we've got all our relatives, you know. And it's like, okay. And I'm thinking, okay. Kids are squawking. Wife is squawking. And I'm lost. And so I asked the guy in the house, I go, okay, how do we get to Smartsville? Oh, you go about 4 more miles on this dirt road, and then you'll hit a real road. And then you go, and you'll hit a highway, and then you go to the highway. So it takes us like 25 minutes to get to Smartsville. So now we're in Smartsville, and it's Thanksgiving. Not a lot open. I mean, there's not a lot in Smartsville to start with. Now it's Thanksgiving, so most of everything in Smartsville is closed. But how many golf courses can be in Smartsville? I mean, think about it. It's out in the sticks. So I go, where's the golf course? We finally find some people walking around, looking fat. They've been eating turkey all day. We're, look, you know, starving. You know, we need help. We need a change. We need new direction. They said, oh, it's right up there. And we go there, and we see my mom. I kid you not. I walk up, and there's my mom. And she's preparing me a plate. We're 3 hours late. And they're going to take all the food away. And we get there, and we get cold turkey. Cold mashed potato. But we saw the family for 10 minutes. Actually, we got to go over to the post-Thanksgiving celebration, eat a bunch of nuts. I tell you, we were eating a bunch. But anyway, kids got hungry. Everybody was happy. And I'll tell you what, when you're lost, you get new direction, you can be found, and you can be happy. Amen? Amen. All right, last thing. Lord has a message for you, and that's what I've been telling you today. He says, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that message is for you this morning. If you want to make a change, repentance is the first step. turning, doing an about face from that life of sin, because that sin will create an incredible wedge between you and the Lord. Make sense? Our sin is a challenge to the life of God. Our sin, your sin, the sin that you are participating in, that you are garnering, that you are embracing in your life, that is what is going to keep you from making the change that is necessary for you to have a new life in Christ. You're going to get to the kingdom of God. You're going to have to do an about face on that. And that new direction is what we call repentance. Doing a 180 and getting a new direction in your life. You're going, wow, that sounds hard. Yeah, it's hard. If sin is so bad, why do we have such a difficult time getting away from it? Because the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. And then it'll catch you up. Anybody here ever smoked before? Man, I smoked. I never figured I'd get hooked. I got hooked for like 20 years. It's hard to give up smoking, amen? Yeah. It's hard to give up sin. You need to get some power. Did you have your hand up, Mrs. Gade? No, okay. That would have really surprised me. All right. I said, you learn all kinds of things about people in church. All right. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is part of that. We go, oh, yes, we like that forgiveness part. Forgiveness of sins. You can get forgiveness. You have to confess your sins to God. You have to agree that what you were doing was bad. You have to realize, I have messed up. God, you were right and I was wrong. When you do that, you got to do an about face and start moving away from your sin. So what you get is you get forgiveness for your past. And you get a new direction. And rather than getting looped around in that cycle of sin, you can start a new direction and Jesus will lead you out. Amen? Doesn't that sound good? All right. So that's the message that we have, but it's a message that we have for us, and it's the message that Jesus would have to go through us. Because he says, this is the message that would be preached by us. We get it, and then we tell people about it. It is a message for us and a message that goes through us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you will be my witnesses. You start in Jerusalem. It's like, you're going to be my witnesses in City Heights, in San Diego, in Southern California, and across the world. And when he says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, it's just like, start where you're at. You got a brand new message. And it's going to start where you're at, and you're going to start moving out. My question for you is, have you got it, and are you giving it? Because God will empower you to get over the sin that you've got so that you can be an advertisement for him. Repentance is just a start, folks. You come to the Lord, he's going to give you a job. That's it. Come to the Lord, he's going to give you a job. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. That means you got to be busy. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We're going to do some baptism right back here. The big old tank, and it is filled with cold water. Feels pretty good today, I think. Back there, and we're going to do water baptism on Memorial Day weekend. You want to follow the Lord? Baptism in water? Talk to me. We have a class, tell you what it all means. One requirement, you got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we will baptize you. We go all the way down. Right, don't we, Mr. Aaron? Yes. Mr. Aaron's our designated baptizer. All the way down, all the way up. Shows that death to the old and life to the new. Amen? That's what we got to have. All right, last thing. And Jesus equips us for the task. And this is what this power thing is about. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Can't get there on your own. This is a supernatural thing that we participate in. You can't make it work. You can't start it. You can't end it. God will call you in. Bible said that God called us out of darkness and into light. God says, that I will open your minds. Jesus had to open the minds of his disciples who had been with him for 3 years. Open your minds to understand the plan of God. If you do not understand, perhaps you need God to do a supernatural work in your mind this morning. And say, God, I just don't get it. I remember talking to my dad. Spent time in prison, read through the Bible, read through the Torah, Quran, all kinds of stuff. And he said, I just don't get it. I said, but Dad, you can. And he died not knowing Christ. You got to say, Lord, open my mind. He'll call you out of darkness. He'll open your mind so that you can understand the light, and then he will empower you so you can live a life and get over on the sin that you have and be a display of light for him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let me get caught up here. Everybody should be that happy hearing this great sermon going on, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Talking about Acts chapter 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is a Holy Spirit thing. You will receive power, and then you're going to be the witnesses. Why? Because you can't be a witness short of power. God doesn't want you walking around limping and gimping and being all weak. Now, you can be limping in the power of God. Get the power of God. You've got to have the Holy Spirit come into your life, transform your life, so that you can then shine God's light in the darkness that surrounds your life. Does that make sense? Happens with youth. Happens with middle-aged people, pregnant moms, old moms, grandmas. Everybody needs the power of God to shine the light of Jesus around them. Talking about Jesus. I baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist talking about our Lord. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not even fit to carry. He's talking about Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We have a record of this happening. It's called Pentecost. Lisa, you can come on up and play. The day of Pentecost. It's the day the church was born. This week is Mother's Day. Next week is Pentecost. And I'm wondering, do you need a change? Maybe you come in here and you just feel lost. You come in here today and you're thinking, yes, I was just thinking about the meatloaf. See some guys starting to move. Hey, guys, I'll let you know when you got to go. All right? It'll be just a minute. Guys are going to go do a bunch of work for you, ladies. You come in here and you're a guy, you're a lady, you're a mom, you're not. But you come in here and you say, you know what? I feel like I'm in Smartsville. I feel like I am just lost. I got no clue where I'm going. I'm at the middle end of a dirt road, and I have run out of opportunities and chances. I want to let you know that you're in the right spot this morning. That this morning the Holy Spirit will come and guide you and direct you. He will open your mind to understand the Scriptures. He will call you out of darkness into light, and he will give you new direction. Amen? Amen? Lord, we come before you. Let's just pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that you're mighty, knowing that you're awesome. And there's folks that are here this morning looking for more than meatloaf. You come in here this morning and you're just thinking, I need to know about the Lord. I'm done being lost. I'm done wandering around. And I want a new change. I want new direction in my life. Lord, would you help me understand? Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. Nobody looking around. And the Lord is here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, he is right here with us. That he would come and he would meet you this morning. This morning, what it would take is an understanding that you're lost and a desire to be found. That's you this morning. I just want you to just slide your hand up and say, oh, Lord, I don't want to be lost anymore. Here and here, here, here. Lots of people in here going, yes, yes, I don't want to be lost anymore. Lord, help me be found. Yes, I see these hands. See that hand over here at the side? See that hand? See, as soon as I see your hand, you put it down. See, as soon as I see your hand, you put it down. See, as soon as I see your hand, you put it down. See, as soon as I see your hand, you put it down. See, as soon as I see your